Again, this evening, I would just want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus. And I was sitting here thinking about a number of things. I was thinking about our prayer meeting time and what our brother shared about us as leaders being an example and how that one day we will give an account. I was also thinking of our young people. And I thought back to when I was young and some of the challenges of that day. But what really affected me, I thought to myself, I'm not so sure that our young people really are the problem. I really think a lot of times that their problems are really an extension of our problems. So the message tonight, though it's geared for youth, it is really geared for all of us sitting here, because we're made of the same things that our youth are made of. And just because we're older doesn't mean that we're excluded from the challenges that come to us in life. So a lot of thoughts have been going through my mind, and the one thing I thought about, I had often said that when I get to heaven, I would like to ask God some questions. And one of those questions is, God, how come when you're growing up, you're trying to figure out who you are, you're trying to figure out what God wants to do with your life, you're trying to figure out a life companion, you're trying to figure out the calling of life, and I've had this question: how is a person supposed to navigate all of that and come out on the other side in a good place? And sometimes I think that the Lord packs a lot of things into our young people's lives. At least that's the way I experienced it. And so for all of us here, it is important for us to really walk beside our young people. Tomorrow morning, as I talk to the fathers and sons, I want to talk about this phrase, and when thy son asketh thee, there's a lot in that, and when thy son asketh thee, how do we as fathers reach our sons in a good way, and daughters also? Again, this evening, let's sing, Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, just inviting the Holy Spirit to direct in our service tonight. We really do need Him. Without Him, it's in vain. Come Gracious Forever. Father, we do look forward tonight to that day when we can be with you. And I pray that everyone sitting here in the sound of my voice would be able to be ready to meet you at that time. We know we have an enemy who works hard to deceive, to draw us away from your love, to make us believe that you're not for us. And I pray that you would help us to know how to stand against his lies, his determination to destroy our lives in hell. Pray that you'll bless our time together tonight, that we would understand your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 27. Our text is found in verse 41. I found it significant, the devotional tonight, because here is another situation where someone was on the sea. In the devotional, Jonah was running away. Here we have the Apostle Paul in his journey to Rome, along with a lot of other people on board. And so our text is found in verse 41. It says, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." It's not hard to get a picture. You've heard the phrase of being between a rock and a hard place. That's kind of what I see in this verse. What's it like to find yourself as a person between a rock and a hard place? What do you do when your ship is being battered by the waves and broken apart? I believe that young people do not start out in life to have their vessel battered by the waves. The Apostle Paul said it well in Romans 7. He says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. And he asked this question, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Of course, we know, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll say again tonight, without the gospel of Jesus Christ operating in our lives, we are hopelessly lost and battered by the waves between a rock and a hard place. How many seniors do we have here tonight? Got a few? We got two kinds of seniors here tonight. We got young seniors and we got old seniors. I love that. I like that. Well, then we got a lot of seniors here. Walter Wilson says that a high school senior, and I find this interesting, he said a high school senior is someone who knows everything there is to know, and they know it. I thought when I was 17, I had been doing carpenter work 1 year. And I knew everything there was to know about doing carpenter work. And my dad, who was not a carpenter, didn't know anything. That was my opinion. It came to a head one day when we were building our house. We moved to Dover when I was 17. And so we're on each end of the house on a stepladder. And we're chalking a line for the soffit. And being of a particular nature and knowing everything, I was determined that the line would be straight. And I pulled, and then I pulled some more, and pulled some more, and you can guess what happened. The chalk line broke. I'll never forget what my dad did. My dad got off the ladder. He walked into the house, left me standing there to think about things. I learned that our son just bought the house that I worked on when I was just a new carpenter, and we're fixing it up. And I looked at some of the work there, and I couldn't believe that I was a part of that. You know what? I didn't know a whole lot, even though I thought that I knew quite a bit at that point in life. And so as you look at this verse, what's it like to be between a rock and a hard place? What are some of those things that have a way of catching a person? If we begin reading in verse 9 of this passage of Scripture, it says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was," what? I thought sailing, well, Ellie likes to sail, and she did convince me to go sailing with her on the Chesapeake Bay. I told her, I said, I'm going to be on the high side of the boat. But it was actually very nice because, you know what, the weather was calm, and I'm always concerned about weather, and we had a beautiful evening. But I can tell you one thing, if there had been a storm out there, I wouldn't have been comfortable at all. I never did like storms, even when I was little. Sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, and Paul admonished them. He said, "Sirs, I perceive," by the way, young people, it's good to have someone in your life with discernment and with perception, with the ability to give direction to your life. "I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul." And notice this, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the majority, the peer pressure of the day won out and advised to depart, if by means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, which lieth toward the southwest and the northwest." And I love this. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Young person, pay attention to this next phrase. "But not long after." And in the devotional tonight, we have that same reality. Jonah, Moses, others, not long after. It says, "Not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." And then in verse 41, "falling," the result, "falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the foreparts stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." You know, it's sometimes easy for us to think, and especially as a young person, "I've got things under control. I've got big plans and dreams for my life. The south wind is blowing softly. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride." In fact, you're only young once. Why not? And so there's this temptation to somehow believe that I can do what I want to do and it's going to turn out. But not long after, and that's why it's so important for young people to think, I tell young people, don't be thinking just about today. You do well to think 20 years down the road from where you're at today and ask yourself the question, what do I want 20 years from now? What would I like my legacy to be 20 years from now? You see, sailing can be a wonderful, exciting experience if the waters are calm, if the wind is blowing softly, and if the sun is shining, and conditions are favorable, but sailing can be a dangerous and destructive experience. Hence, that's why I don't like to go sailing. But no, anyway, I've been out on the water when there's a storm, and trust me, I was a child that was pretty anxious. I'm not a risk taker. I'm just not that way. Now, Ellie gets older. She gets more. She wants to go in a hot air balloon. I told her, I said, well, balloons, they get caught in wires. There's no way I want to go in a hot air balloon. And, you know, it's just interesting, but I was cautious. That's the kind of person I am. But when sailing can be a destructive experience, hence, there's the need for caution. There's the need for some discernment. Paul said, folks, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much destruction and hurt. And yet, did people believe him? Did people pay attention to his admonition? No. Why? Well, the haven wasn't commodious. This was not the most popular resort town. And there's a struggle with restrictions. And often as young people, we struggle. We labor under the restrictions of our freedom, the things that keep us from being what we want to be and going where we want to go. It's maybe a struggle with outdated standards and methods of sailing and a resistance to the true and tried standards of sailing. So the more part advised, let's go. Wind's blowing softly, no problem. Let's get on with it. Young people, I say again, I'll tell you, wise is a young person who has parents, who has teachers, who has pastors that can see down the road and can give caution and warning to us. I can tell you this, I am so grateful personally for that, even though at times in my youth I resisted it and sometimes wanted no parts of it. I could share experiences, but I won't at this point. So, the circumstances look good. There was a struggle with the long view. There was a resistance to the 5-day, the 5-year, the 10-year forecast. And it's easy as a young person to live in the light of today. But let me tell you, for us older folks, it's still easy for us to do that. I don't understand ourselves sometimes. Given all we know about what Christ has done for us, given all we know about the destructive nature of sin, given all we know of the battle of the flesh, yet it's easy for all of us to give in. I remember used to think as a young person, I wonder what the consequences will be of this action. And I can tell you this, I no longer think of those things in that same way, because guess what? The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know what that really means? This, you cannot moo at God and get away. You can't make mouths at God. That's what the idea is. You can't do that and get away with it. And Amos Mass told me, he said, Dave, you don't just reap the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And there's none of us here, young or old, who wants to reap the results of being caught between a rock and a hard place and having our vessel battered. So we see not long afterwards, the ship got caught. It could not bear into the wind. It was driven out of control. A lot of work was done, a lot of helps, a lot of undergirding. There was fear of quicksand, and they ended up falling between two C's. And young people and all of us here, I want to talk about three C's tonight that have a way of catching us. Doesn't matter who you are. We struggle with these opposing C's. And I've often pondered the reality of the temptations and pressures to compromise one's faith, to compromise one's integrity and purity, to compromise one's convictions, to compromise even a person's salvation. No wonder Solomon encourages us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon wished he'd have paid more attention to the long-term forecast in his life. So sad. So he tells us, guard your heart above all keeping. Ponder the path of your feet. And that word there, ponder the path, it means discernment. And let all your ways be established. The idea there is that, I just love this picture, so that you can come to the end of life standing erect. Not coming to the end of life with a life of wasted years, of wishing you had done differently. I'll tell you, there's something, when I think of young people, I get excited because there's the potential there of a young person making a decision that will impact him for life. Right now, I think of a seventh grade student of mine, very smart guy. I would meet with students one-on-one, and I noticed that his grades were falling. Something wasn't right. I didn't know what it was. But in talking to him, I said something to him. I said, "What's going on in your life?" It took him a while. I don't think he told me the first time, but one time when I met with him, he said, "Well, Brother Dave, I'll tell you what it is." He said, "I'm addicted to violent video games." It was affecting his whole life. So I looked at him and I said, "What are you going to do about it?" I'll never forget the day he came into the interview and he said, "Brother Dave, I want you to know something. I made a decision." I said, "What's your decision?" He said, "I got rid of all of them." You know, he has never looked back. He's one of our ministers today. To come to the end of life standing erect, not like the cousin or not like the person that told me one time, he said, "Dave, I can't believe I have allowed myself to go to where I am." See, sin keeps pulling. It doesn't quit at this point. It always calls for more and takes us places we really don't want to go. The first C is the battering C of rebellion versus obedience. Most young people struggle with this. I will have my way even if it kills me. And guess what? For some young people, it does kill them just to have their own way. Had a father that was concerned about his daughter being rebellious, and he wasn't sure what to do about it. And as I talked to him and I realized that he, as a young man, had been rebellious, I said to him, "You know what? You know what rebellion brought to you. What you should do is sit down with your daughter and confess to her your own rebellion and let her know the consequences of your rebellion." Often when people get their way, and I've watched this, it's supposed to bring satisfaction. But you know what? Most times it brings loneliness, emptiness, a sense of futility when a person actually gets their own way. I think of a young couple that decided to move in with each other before they were married. Their testimony was this. They said, as we unpacked our things and we sat there looking at each other, were they happy? No. They're like thinking, what are we doing? See, Satan has a way of making it a person believe that if I can do what I want to do, if I can have freedom, if I can be my own boss, if I wouldn't have these restrictions around me, then I would be happy. But the reality is, those decisions do not bring happiness. In fact, have you noticed the broken relationships that happen? The distance between people you love. Why would a person trade the warmth of good relationships for the sake of having their own way? Now, there are a lot of things I regret as a youth, but one thing I don't regret, I made a decision back then that I would honor my parents, that I would honor the church, that I would submit to the guidelines. And I want to tell you something. I have never regretted making that choice. I don't know how to communicate the blessing of that to people who think that if you give in, you're not going to enjoy life or you're in some kind of bondage or something like that. I'll tell you, no one can take the joy. And some time ago when my father, I heard he was going into the hospital, and I thought about the fact that he might die. You know what? As I thought about it, I had complete peace. I knew there was nothing between us. There was nothing that was not in the open or whatever. The second C is the C of purity versus sensuality. Samson said this, "Dad, get her for me, for she pleases me well." Think about that. Get her for me, because she pleases me well. Joseph said, and I appreciate it, Joseph said, "How can I do this sin against God?" Notice the contrast between the two. Our culture has opened the floodgates to that which brings defilement. Internet gives us a lot of room for feeding on ashes. And it's not just young people that struggle with internet or struggle with ashes. Sometimes we want to put the burden on them. But if we're honest, we live in a world today where, listen, your parents can't protect you from the evil that's out there. If you're going to be protected, it'll be because you set boundaries in your heart. Think of a young man whose father bought him an old car to fix up, a Barracuda. I still remember it. It was yellow. And this guy was excited about it, and he was out looking at the car after his dad bought it. And as he looked in the car, he found a Playboy magazine. And his immediate temptation was, oh, I'm going to hide this and I will indulge later. He hid the magazine, but in the meantime, the Holy Spirit began to speak to him and say, you know what? You wouldn't have to do this. And he went and took the magazine and burned it. He says this, he says that decision impacted his life in future struggles like he wouldn't believe. I think of a girl in our congregation who was watching movies, and I happened to know what movie it was, and I knew there were suggestive scenes in there. And I remember saying something to her. She said, oh, Brother Dave, we know all about that. And I looked at her and I said, well, should you know about that? See, the Bible says I would have you simple concerning evil. God wants us to be ignorant of evil, not indulging in it. So that means you set boundaries in your heart. David said, I will not set anything worthless before my eyes. Now, I'm honest. I'm going to say that's still a challenge for me. to not set worthless things before my eyes. The third area tonight is the sea of compromise or the sea of conviction. Why did the children of Israel want a king? I shared this with the children this morning. Why did they want a king? So that they could be like the nations around them. You know, God's people have this tremendous struggle of wanting to be like the people around us, but it's not a good thing. It does. You know what? In our liberation, we get rid of this and we get rid of that and we get rid of the other thing. They are things that we think we can do without as a Christian. But I want to tell you something. There's a package that goes with it. You got to think about that. It may not be a big thing that we're getting rid of in our minds, but usually there's more that goes with it than just the issue itself. And there's a lot of people that cry in their pillow for what has been lost. Because I want to tell you something. Brotherhood has a cost to it. You know that? Brotherhood's not a free ride. If you're going to have the benefits of a good brotherhood, it means that you're willing to lay down your personal desires for the sake of each other and for the sake of the body. People who are determined to have it their way, a lot of times they get it their way, but with it comes a lot of grief and heartache. One fellow told me like this. He talked about someone that was always fighting the restrictions. And after they were gone and no longer had the restrictions, he said, it's so funny. When they're together, you know what they talk about? The restrictions. See, that's an attitude. It's a something within us. And, you know, Genesis chapter 1, God said, okay, you guys, Adam, you can eat all the trees of the garden, but there's one tree. No, you can't have it. People have said to me, well, Dave, it's not a salvation issue. Well, I'm not sure how we determine what are salvation issues and what aren't sometimes. It's kind of in our preferences. But let me tell you something. Do you think that tree looked that much different than anything else? I personally don't think so. I think it was, what did God want? He wanted to know. Whether mankind would submit to him, would accept his leadership in their life. And let me tell you something, that is a salvation issue. Because a person cannot be a Christian if they're not willing to surrender their will to the Father, to the Lord. And that gets tested in little, trust me, it gets tested in little things. Thinking of, it's funny the thoughts that come to my grandmother. They said she had the look. They say Brother Dave has the look too. Some of my students said, have you ever received the look? And my grandmother was, they were visiting friends and little boy was not behaving himself. He was creating a problem and so she caught his eye. And of course, she just stared at him. I've watched her stare down my cousin, and she was good at it. But anyway, he backed up against the wall, and she kept looking at him. And he finally slid down the wall, and she's still looking at him. And then, in a tearful voice, he says, I'm going to tell my daddy. You know, we are so interesting as people. And I've done this. We will go to great lengths to be in control, to have our own way. But I'm telling us, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, there's surrender that has to happen in our lives. But everyone else is doing it, Dad. Boy, I used to. Papa, everyone else. He would say, others may, but you cannot. I didn't like that answer. And the truth was, not everyone else was doing it. But that's what it seemed like sometimes when I wanted to have what I wanted. Observe their lives carefully, those who have gone that direction. Where are their decisions taking them? How are their relationships with mom and dad? Are they genuinely happy? What is the fruit of their lives? We need young people who are willing to stand alone if necessary. Everyone bowed down to the golden image except three young men. That's powerful. So as young people, you need to make decisions about where you're going to stand, how you're going to stand. By the way, I just thought of it now. There are generational bondages that happen in families. By the way, failures of parents have their impact on children. I know that's true in my own family. Sometimes as young people, you have to raise up a standard beyond what others may raise up because you know your weakness. You know where Satan will cause you to fall. I remember as a young person going into a bookstore, and I would say my motivation was pure, but while I was in there, I felt drawn to the wrong thing. And afterwards, I was thinking about it. I said, This is ridiculous. And I decided not to go into bookstores. And I didn't go into bookstores for quite a while after that. Now I can go into a bookstore today. But I'm saying, I share that to say this. You have to do what you need to do to not put yourself in a place where you know you're going to stumble and fall. That's very, very important. Conclusion, I would have us turn to 2 Timothy Chapter 2, verse 19. And I really believe, if my memory serves me correct, I think when I had the youth rally here way back in 1990 or something like that, that this was the passage that I used. It says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. This is important, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart."